If you could truly take an objective look at your relationship with God, what would you find lacking? That's the question before us on today's edition of Chapter and Verse Radio.
There is one thing you lack. I don't know about you, but there are about 1 million things I lack. If the Lord said, Mike, there's only one thing you lack, whoa, I would just be walking on water and walking on air, and I'd just be the happiest guy in all of Southern California. One thing is all I lack? Now, be honest with yourself right now. Nobody can hear your thoughts. Is there only one thing you lack, or do you admit that maybe there's more than one thing you lack to become perfect and to inherit eternal life? That was his first question. What must I do to inherit eternal life?
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout.
Many times, it's our own unbelief that limits God's work in our lives. Thank you for being with us for the Monday broadcast of Chapter and Verse. Today, we're going to hear part two of Mike's message, All Things Are Possible with God. Jesus himself said that he was limited in what he could do in the way of miracles and healings because of the people's disbelief and lack of faith. God stands at the ready to help you in whatever circumstances you may be in. Trust him and allow him to work in your life. And if you lack faith, ask him to give you more, and he will. Let's join Mike as he continues in Mark chapter 10 here on Chapter and Verse.
I don't know about you, but there are about 1 million things I lack. If the Lord said, Mike, there's only one thing you lack, whoa, I would just be walking on water and walking on air, and I'd just be the happiest guy in all of Southern California. One thing is all I lack? Now, be honest with yourself right now. Nobody can hear your thoughts. Is there only one thing you lack, or do you admit that maybe there's more than one thing you lack to become perfect and to inherit eternal life? That was his first question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, I've asked you to do these six things. I've been doing those. Well, do you think Jesus knew that? You know the commandments. So Jesus already knew that he was going to say that, but he lacked one thing. Could have been humility, but let's see what this one thing is and how it's interpreted by this man. He said to him, but one thing you lack. The second part of his command, go your way. So you don't need to be here with me. Go on, live your life. This is the one thing that's holding you back. The question was eternal life. Now, there may be somebody here this evening that the question of eternal life hasn't even come up in your brain yet. You may be a godless person sitting here for whatever reason. Nevertheless, God has brought you here. But what if he told you tonight, this is how you can get eternal life? Now, think of this for a moment, because we're not far from one of the country's nicest hospitals over here at St. Joseph's. My father-in-law went to heaven from that hospital. And I remember praying with him before he went. And I remember some of my earliest lessons in being a minister. Chuck would send me over there to pray with little babies and children that were sick, that the mommies and daddies were brokenhearted and he couldn't make it. And I'd like you to go see this person. I'd like you to go see it. Yes, sir. And I would even come up when I was been in the ministry 20 or 30 years and I'd say, I'm here to serve you today, Chuck. What can I do? Mike, there is this friend. He's over here in Fountain Valley at a hospital, and here's his name. I've known him for 25 years, and his business background you'd appreciate, and blah, 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 blah. But I've got my calendars booked. I got appointments here all day, and I've got some other thing. I said, I'd be glad to do it. And I'd do that as a full-grown adult. You know, that one man taught more than 7 years of graduate school just by being around him. He taught the living part of this, not this part of it. But he taught you the word, but not how the seminaries break up the word and make it Like, what does this apply to, you know? I learned a long time ago as a reserve police officer on the street, when somebody's getting ready to hurt you and you have to reach for your gun, you better be ready to use that gun. And when you pull out the sword, the word of God, you better be ready to use it. And Chuck really knew how to use it and poke it through without even knowing you got poked through until you leave and say, what did he say? And then you bleed all the way home and say, oh, yeah, I get it, okay. So this guy, you only lack one thing. So go your way. Go on. Get out of here. Go your way. Really? Wouldn't you like to leave tonight with the secret to the one thing that you need to change in your life? I would. And I'm willing to get it. But let's see what happens here. Go your way. There's only one thing. Now, he's going to let him figure it out, or he's going to talk to him. I'd rather have him talk to me. Go your way. Oh, here's the hard part. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And then come. He just told him to go. And then when you've got rid of all your assets in this world and the poor are enriched by your life, then you'll have treasure in heaven and come take up the cross and follow me. Now, I love this because on Fridays, I get to serve food to people that have mental issues. And the county supports them. And we buy their food, the food bank. And we go to this one place, and we're trying to spread it throughout San Diego County. But these people are so kind, so gracious, and so grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing this. You're welcome. Don't worry. I can't thank you enough. You don't have to thank me. This is coming from God to you. He loves you, and he wants to make sure you get enough food to eat. Now, do you want a couple cans of chicken noodle soup, or do you want a box of spaghetti? I got some sauce here. You want some peanut butter? Everybody wants peanut butter. And I worked out a deal. We got you some jelly today. Whoa! Any bread? Yeah, here, take this loaf of bread. Go. You can have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all day long if you want, you know, and party. But what I've learned is their attitude is sometimes nicer than people that have everything. And nicer than people are to one another in church. They're just so grateful. They're like little children. You're doing something nice for me like it's my birthday. Well, no, God's doing something nice for you because he knows you're hungry. But that's their attitude. Don't ever lose that little child. Don't ever forget who you used to be. You don't need to act like an imbecile, but, you know, when you look back at where you came from, you may be more grateful as a believer towards God for what he has brought you from and brought you to today. Last Sunday night, I think I got home around 9:30 or something like that. It was like 2.5 hours of traffic. And I was sitting there, all of a sudden San Diego Police Department said, hey, we got a problem. I said, okay. They're looking for somebody, a chaplain. I said, well, look, Sandy's out of town speaking at a women's pastor's conference, wife's conference, and I can stay up late. So about 11, I left. And here's a couple. You were here, and I was over at 412 Church. A man died on a flight from Honolulu to San Diego, halfway home. So his wife was with him 3 hours in the plane, still flying, and then all the commotion of moving him and the passenger, you can imagine all that. But there's one thing about the Lord I've learned. He can get you in any door, anytime, any place, be it the White House or an outhouse. He can get you there. Let me tell you, from the top to the bottom, I've seen him open doors. And so I talked to this lieutenant, and he said, okay, I have an officer waiting at the backside of the airport. His lights are on when you see him. I just pulled up. He's expecting you. Okay. So I got there, and he says, hey, good to meet you. Hop in. So we go. You know, it shows they know who we are now. And I've got my jacket on, my badge clipped on there, and I can go anywhere I want now. So can you imagine a Hawaiian airline plane, completely empty, 300 and some odd seats, two worker janitor type guys cleaning up the plane, two stewardesses, that's all, everybody's gone, and six police officers, and the medical examiner from the morgue. And they said, she's back there. She was in the galley, the back, very back of the airplane. I know you've all been there at one time where they fix the meals and stuff and bring them forward in the restrooms. So I turned around, I saw a police officer standing at the very back, and I realized he was guarding to make sure nobody touches the body. And I turned the corner, and there she is, sitting on the floor with her sister. I thought, well, you can't stand and talk down to her. That wouldn't be good. So I just slid down on the wall and grabbed her hand, and she squeezed like she was Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. She just had such strength. And I grabbed her sister's arm, and the wife had held her husband's arm for his hands and was rubbing them for at least 2 hours that we were on the floor. And the brokenheartedness, and the sister trying to comfort the wife, but yet she's brokenhearted because her brother-in-law is a good friend. They were best of friends growing up, high school sweethearts, been married 27 years. He is only 55 years old, and she was a little bit younger than that. And I just watched the Lord Jesus just come in and love them. Worst time in her life, I am sure. But to see him love her, comfort her, you know what her first question was? Why would God do this to me? That's not an abnormal question at all. I said, he didn't do this to you. What do you mean? Well, God's love. He loves you. He didn't do this to you if you mean, why did he take your husband? Oh, he loves me. Yes. Well, you know, he's on dialysis, and this is the first time we ever went anywhere in years, and we were so looking forward to this, and he had saved money from his job, and, you know, he had problems with his health, and do you think that the Lord took him so he wouldn't suffer anymore? Very possible. Do you think that, and do you know she answered every question she asked me, and I didn't have to say a thing. The Lord just ministered his love to her. We prayed. The whole time, there's a young police officer standing there listening with both ears wide open and bowing his head. And then the next police officer, can I talk to you when you're finished here? Yeah. And then the next police officer, hey, could I take a couple minutes of your time? And then the next two police officers, hey, could we talk to you? And then the way, I don't know how many cops got touched, but a lot of them got touched. Jesus just wants us to show up. That's all. And you all love him. I know you do. You wouldn't be here. This is bizarre that I'm here. So it's bizarre that you're here. But I know how he uses me, and he wants you to know to get ready for what's coming. And you need to be strong in the Lord. Not strong in self, but strong in the Lord. Because people are going to have questions that can't be answered by the hundreds of thousands of people. And great judgment is coming to our country. And we already know how Christians are hated because they got two conservative judges into the Supreme Court. We're the ones that got Donald Trump in. And when they take over again, the church is going to be the bad guy. You need to be ready for the future. Your future and the world's future. Things are changing too fast. We can't keep up with it. But do not live for self. Do not be selfish. There are too many people wishing that you would just sit down and hold their hand and talk to them and say something. And even let them answer their own questions if necessary. You don't have to have all the answers. But you do need to have the love of a child and not the intellectual vocabulary of a seminary student. That's all you need, and it's all I need, is sincerity and honesty. I remember our chief one time said, would you go down 7 o'clock in the morning and talk to the officer's wife? She's in the chapel. This is the same chief that told me the day I met him 8 years earlier, I don't want any of that blankety-blank Jesus. I don't want any of that blankety-blank blood of the Lamb. I don't want any blankety-blank Bible shoved down the throats of my officers. You understand? I said, yes, sir. That's not my style. Here he is now with the police officer with a bullet right in his brain, from the middle of the head, from the night before. The wife down there crying, and he says, would you go and help her? I was a reserve officer. I wasn't a chaplain. But he knew, though he didn't want to know, before he died a couple years ago, we did one of his best friend's services together, and he is hyperventilating. And I know he hated death. He hated giving death announcements and that whole scene. And the Lord said, talk to him. And while everybody was weeping and the place was quiet, music in the background, I put my hand on his back and I said, hey, Sheriff. Yeah, Mike. Heaven just told me to tell you they love you. He said, what did you just say? And I thought, oh, I've gone too far now. I said, Heaven wants you to know they love you and you can be at peace. And I thought, when this is over, I'm gone. Instead, he turns to me and says, I can't believe Heaven even knows who I am or where I am, let alone they love me. How do you know this? And I leaned forward and said, why do you think I've been beside you for 32 years, sir? And he looked at me and said, oh, gosh, I shouldn't have listened to you at all. The Lord's going to take you into people's lives that nobody else has ever gotten into. You just sit there and you wait. He's going to open up doors and you're going to be standing there and whoops, you're going to be able to tell him something. You're going to have the answer. You are needed. You are wanted. You're being recruited, not by the CIA. Well, yes, it is the CIA, Christians in Action. The Lord is trying to get you to respond to something new that is coming our way that we've never experienced before. So I encourage you. If he says you only have one thing, Lord, tell me, please, quick. You see, if you will just sell everything, give it to the poor people, and he's not saying this to you, I don't think. He could be to somebody. And then you come and pick up your cross. What is his cross? His cross is that he once was rich, but now he's poor. I know several men and women around the country like that were super rich and lost it all and found Jesus. And they take Jesus over the hundreds of millions any day because he's eternal. And the riches fade away. And they don't bring happiness. Otherwise, we'd all be rich. The poorer the person, the happier they seem to be because they have no distractions and no excuses. So here we go. He moves into this rich young ruler. And those three qualities are the most dangerous in the world. To be rich, to be young, and have authority. Whoa. And that was this kid's problem. One thing you lack. So now, Jesus looks around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is. One day, we got a call from a very famous psychologist, Helen Kubler-Ross. She was a specialist in death. Some of you, I see you nodding your head, you've heard of her. She was an atheist, not a believer. And she owned a piece of property in Virginia. Beautiful piece of property with a lodge. And it was a New Age facility that she used. And she would bring people there and they would read her books and talk about death and afterlife and all that. So her health was going down. And anybody that's in psychology or psychiatry, they all know Kubler-Ross. And she got a hold of us and said, we have this property, and I'm letting people make me an offer on the property because I want to donate it. And so I said, okay. So out of all the people around the country that sent in an offer to take the property and how they'd use it, she chose us. And she gave us the keys, the titles. It was lots and lots of property, buildings, dormitories. It was at the head. It's called Headwaters, Virginia. There's 35 people that live in that town. And it's the headwaters to the Potomac River, come up out of the ground and start there. And she didn't know Jesus. But when I went and joined with a couple of friends at her home in Scottsdale, Arizona, I said, Miss Ross, could you tell me why you accepted us out of all these sophisticated organizations? And she had a stack of things, and they had CPAs, and they had all sorts of lawyer legalese, and she picked ours up, and it was one page long. It says, we love God. God loves children. We'd love to use this property to help children that could never come to such a beautiful place as this for free. And that's why she made her decision. And you know, since she died, she said to me one time, she said, Mike, you're sounding like a preacher. I was trying to lead her to the Lord. And I said, Helen, I am a preacher. But I'm awful close to you, aren't I? But anyhow, do you know how, I couldn't tell you the hundreds of boys and girls that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, let alone the thousands over the years that have come to that place and been ministered to. It was the simplicity of a child. There's one thing you lack. Maybe the one thing some people lack is for somebody to love them and do something kind to them. You see, there's so much you and I could do as a group. There's even more we can do as individuals. But God would love to use us all to serve Him for no other reason than we want Him to love people like He's loved us and forgiven us. So now the movement is, how hard it is for the rich to get into heaven. They were astonished at His words because this is the opposite vocabulary they had been taught in school and in business. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, notice He's talking to them now, children, settle down, kids, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Circle that. Underline that. Put stars by it. Mark crosses by it. With men, it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And this is the little secret I discovered getting ready this time for you. Is, do you realize He's got all things are possible with God right in the middle of chapter 10 before we get to the end of two short stories? And what is more impossible than a marriage? What is more impossible than children? What is more impossible than a smart-aleck young rich ruler? He's already showed us some of the most impossible things to deal with in life are all taken care of by Him. There isn't anything He can't do for you tonight. There isn't anything He wouldn't do for you tonight. He loves you. He's loved you like He loved Jeremiah. Before I formed you, Jeremiah, in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And He could say to you, hey, Sally, hey, Joan, hey, Fred, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a carpenter. I ordained you to be a police officer. I ordained you to be a senator. Each one of us He has ordained, or otherwise put in our DNA, the ability to accomplish something that will fulfill our hearts but give glory to Him and His kingdom. And there's no greater place to be than directly in the will of God and knowing who you are in Him.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh bringing to a close our study today on CNV. On our next broadcast, we'll continue our survey of the book of Mark as we conclude in chapter 10 in our message, All Things Are Possible with God. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know the daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com. And click on the teaching link and then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Tuesday, we'll hear the conclusion to our study in Mark chapter 10 with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.